Live in an era where same-sex marriage is legal, having a baby out of wedlock isn't the end of the world, and de facto relationships generally don't raise an eyebrow. But what if, in 2018, you could be fired from your job for any one of these things? If you work for a religious organisation, now I'm not talking about if you're, say, a priest in a church scenario, I'm talking about if you have a job in an organisation attached to a religious organisation, you know, maybe you're a teacher at a Catholic school, maybe you're a cleaner at a hospital with a religious affiliation, you might be hired or fired based on particular codes of that religion. And not just because of the religious denomination that you belong to, perhaps it's more to do with the religious denomination of the organisation that you are seeking employment with or that you work for. Paul Willis is an ambassador for the National Secular Lobby. They are calling for the laws that enable this to change, and they front the Ruddock Review today. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Before we get into this issue, what exactly is the Ruddock Review?
Look, the Ruddock Review was set up in response to pressure from the right wing of the federal government after the same-sex marriage bill went through. And it's a review into the intersections of religious freedom and discrimination occurs in the law. Now, effectively, when they're talking about religious freedom, the Australian Secular Lobby, we're all in favour of religious freedom. Anyone should be able to follow whatever religion they want. But there's some caveats around that. You shouldn't be able to do anything in your religion that causes harm to yourself or to others.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be able to impose your religion on other people. And most importantly, you should be able to only operate within the laws. Now, what many of the submissions for the Ruddock Review are doing, they're from various religious organisations, and they're looking for exemptions from, in particular, the Discrimination Act, so that they have the right to discriminate.
Can you give a specific example of what it is exactly that is of concern to you as part of the National Secular Lobby?
The examples of the sorts of things that they want to focus on are questions of, can a religious person refuse service of their business, such as baking a cake, to a gay and lesbian couple? Those are the sorts of exemptions that they're after. But we think that that's a dangerous thing to do, to give anybody exemptions from laws on any grounds. The thin end of the wedge is if we just start to say, okay, look, you have the right to discriminate against Australian law and against international conventions that we're signatories to.
Mm.
Well, maybe we need to extend that discrimination, right to discriminate, to other religious faiths so they can discriminate against you. And if we're going to make exemptions around discrimination, well, what about other religious practices that they want to conduct that are contrary to the law? It's really a sticky situation. By all means, you've got all the religious freedom to follow whichever religion you want and do whatever you want, providing it's within the law. That's really all we're saying here.
Paul Willis, as an ambassador for the National Secular Lobby, the organisation presenting to the Ruddock Review today, can you tell me about what you're concerned about, specifically with regards to people in an employment scenario who might be discriminated against because of exemptions that religious organisations, for instance, a charity, might enjoy under current legislation in Australia?
Well, I think you did a great job in the introduction of outlining the exact scenarios that can actually exist, because religions already have special exemptions in certain states around anti-discrimination laws so that they can do things like refuse to employ people who are not of their faith. They can discriminate against pregnant employees, no matter what level of employment they are undertaking. Discrimination around pregnancy, it could be discrimination around dress code, it can be anything they like. They can actually discriminate against the law. There is already that exemption there.
Okay.
We're saying that with the Ruddock Review, we shouldn't be looking for extensions of discriminations and abilities to discriminate. We should actually be looking at wheeling in the exceptions that are already out there in the law laws of the land.
Paul Willis, stay with us. In studio as well this afternoon is lawyer Hunter Trotman from the Queensland Workplace Law. G'day, Hunter.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
Now, let's look at this from a Queensland-specific perspective. Sure. Have you ever had to deal with the kinds of things that Paul is talking about in your practice here
in
Brisbane?
Yes. So I've previously had a case, and I can't go into any identifying particulars, but I had a client who was employed by a religious organisation, and ultimately his employment was terminated because of his personal living arrangements.
His personal living arrangements didn't match the religious principles of the organisation that he was employed by?
Correct, yes.
And was he employed directly as a representative of the church, for instance, you know, as someone working within a church setting, or was he someone working, you know, as a teacher, nurse, you know, and on one of those, I don't want to get specific.
No, that's okay.
But how closely connected was he with church
practices? His role was an administrative role within the organisation.
Okay. What do you think? It's hard to imagine for some people that this might still be a thing, given where we are currently, contemporarily in Australia. But for a lot of people who do hold their religious principles very dear to their heart, they do have firm ideas about what is or what is not appropriate. But from a legal perspective, I guess you sit at the point where that comes into conflict, don't you?
Well, I suppose we're at the forefront of it because... Yeah. People in this young man's position, they'll seek advice and guidance from somebody like me. So it's important that we understand what the state of the law is and we're able to advise him accordingly. And from that advice, he makes a decision about what he wants to do. So
what are the pieces of legislation in Queensland currently that are relevant to this discussion?
Sure. Paul's already touched on the Commonwealth discrimination. The relevant act that he's referring to is the Commonwealth Sexual Discrimination Act, and mirror provisions of that are contained in the Queensland Anti-Discrimination Act. So the more properly put, I might describe it this way, is that the acts don't necessarily justify discriminatory behaviour. What they do is they say, right, these organisations, you're involved in discriminatory behaviour, but it's an exception to that discriminatory behaviour if it's for example, like the Sex Discrimination Act, their conduct is permitted if it's intended to avoid injury to that organisation, or under the Queensland Anti-Discrimination Act, if it's designed to, or if it's intended to protect the religious beliefs of people who follow that faith. So the way that we approached that case was that we submitted an application on behalf of our client. We sent out what we said was the discriminatory conduct. And when the respondent lodged their defence, they said, well, look, yes, we admit we engaged in discriminatory conduct, but we were allowed to because of these protections under the Queensland Anti.
So there are two rules, effectively. I mean, the fact that someone might, whether it is admitted to or not, be dismissed from their position because of, say, the fact that they are living in a same-sex de facto relationship, is not probably the kind of thing that would be acceptable in some workplaces, secular workplaces, but could be a problem for religiously affiliated workplaces. However, they are protected under the law.
Indeed. So in terms of how it would progress legally, is that if it went to a contested hearing, the initial onus would be on my client to prove that he's been subject to discriminatory conduct. And so once we would have establish that to the satisfaction of the court, the respondent can then say, yes, okay, we engaged in discriminatory conduct, but we did so because it was in accordance with our beliefs.
I see. Okay. Michael James is on the line. You're with Hunter Trotman, by the way, from Queensland Workplace Law, and also on the line is Paul Willis from the National Secular Lobby. Now, they're presenting to the Ruddock Review today on this issue of religious discrimination, the rules in and around it. They have a position of view. Michael James, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Catherine.
Thanks for calling. Now, you have had direct experience with what we're talking about. What's your story, Michael?
So I studied to be a teacher, and I did my pre-service training at a all-boys Catholic school. And after I'd finished my training, I went back and I got offered a contract to go and do that for a whole term. And throughout the course of my contract, it became known to the students, because they know how to use the internet, that I was gay. And word got around the school, and it became a scandal, if you will. And sort of had to go in and chat with administration about it. And they, you know, were suitably uncomfortable about the situation, but allowed me to continue on my contract. And at the end of it, I went back and I approached the school to come back and continue working and to do any supply work or any other work they might want me for. And I was completely shut out. I got no return phone calls. I got no return emails. I put in an application for my son to attend the school. And that's normally about a 5 to 6 month waiting process to find out if you get accepted. And if you're a previously employed teacher, your children are pretty much almost guaranteed to get into the school. We went in and we were granted an interview. And instead of waiting the 5 months to hear back, it took all of about 4 to 5 weeks. And we got an automatic rejection saying that he wasn't accepted into the school.
So, Michael, would you like to see a change to the law?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is a situation where they didn't explicitly say to me, we aren't employing you because you're gay, but it was very abundantly clear, and I was in a situation where I couldn't do anything about it. Like, I knew that was the case, and I couldn't go to find any legal assistance and say, hey, look, this is unfair, I've been discriminated against, because I knew what the law was. And I knew all I had to do was come back and say, yes, we chose not to offer him any employment because his lifestyle and his views differ to our beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so I was left going, great, there's nothing I can do. So seeing a change in these laws would be fantastic, because there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to continue teaching in that school.
Michael, thank you for sharing your story. We have to come to a close because we're coming up to news headlines time. But Hunter, I guess in your view, what would you say to people in Michael's position?
It's definitely worthwhile for somebody like Michael or somebody in Michael's position to speak to somebody like me. There may be many exceptions to their circumstances, which means that that defence or exception contained in the Act isn't available to the respondent. So it's most definitely worthwhile for Michael to speak to somebody like me or many of the other community legal centres which are around Brisbane and Queensland. They are numerous and they're manned by very competent solicitors and barristers who would be able to give somebody like Michael some good advice.
Hunter, thank you. Paul Willis, before I let you go, so the National Secular Lobby presenting on this issue today, and then what's the time frame with regards to this review?
Good question. I know that submissions closed a couple of weeks ago and they had something like 13,000 submissions, but they are operating in some degree of secrecy, so we really don't know what they're up to, what their deliberations are. Their meetings are all closed, so all I can say is watch this space. And if anyone of your listeners is as angry as I am around the case that Michael was just brought to the... If that were to happen in any other business, they would have the book thrown at them. So why should we allow any business to do this basically under the guise of religious freedom? That's not what religious freedom is.
Paul Willis, thank you for your time.
Pleasure.
Paul Willis from the National Secular Lobby. He's an ambassador for the lobby. Hunter Trotman as well. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Catherine. Pleasure.
And Michael, thank you so much for calling in. It's coming up to Tuesday, Trivia Time. Don't go anywhere.